Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine the kingdom and power and glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever, and forever.
Amen.
So welcome back. Well, we lost some people today.
Yeah. Weather change.
They prefer to travel to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Instead of being here.
They sent me a picture of her in a big recording studio with everybody.
Isn't
oh, good.
That yeah. Wonderful?
Pretty cool.
Oh.
Who?
Gina. She won a contest, yeah, for her songwriting, and
oh.
She's at Capitol Records in California.
Oh, wow.
How wonderful is that?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Lucia.
There she is.
Yeah, Lucia here.
Sneak in the back door.
I liked her yesterday. She was just walking around, ignoring all this, running out of the kids, doing by herself. In her own world. Yeah. All right, so we will, before we start, I want to amply share with those who are not here, next week and following week, for 2 weeks, we are not going to have book study. It's Holy Week next week, and then Bright Week, we are going to have a liturgy on Monday, so. And it is good to have break, you know. Well, break as break, you know. All right, so we are going to continue in this chapter on purity, and we are on page 208, and we start with the second paragraph.
The good intentions of a man are strengthened far away from temptations, where they develop incredible firmness and power, whereas proximity to temptations leads little by little to weakening resolve, leading eventually to total moral collapse. Just as ice on a river becomes thicker and thicker the colder the winter gets, if there is the faintest hint of warmth, it begins to melt and disappear. Brothers, we must remove ourselves from the company of women, especially close acquaintances, from frequent conversations and meetings with them. O you who have desired to defeat your own nature, remember that such a victory is impossible if we subject ourselves constantly to the influence and activity of the fallen nature within us.
Well, from the text, it's visible that these words are addressed to monks. And always when we read these texts, so we try to like turn off our attention because it's not for us. This is for monks. But well, true is that while they offer us these recipes for our own life too, because what is good for monks is good for us too. And especially, look, he's giving this advice in the time when it was really, society was totally different than it is now. That we would, if we can compare, so it would be almost like holy society. It's, if you compare with our culture, our world, that for them, things we see commonly and doesn't make problem for us, for them was it was a huge scandal. And still, he's not afraid to give this advice. So, and this is true, and we touched it last time, that it's impossible to expose ourselves to temptations without problems. Sooner or later, we become so ignorant that, well, even that sin, it will be not big deal, not big problem. So, I would like just to encourage you that well, to understand that, well, if we want to reach purity of heart, it's impossible if we expose ourselves to, without thinking, to all kinds of temptations. And now, if I'm talking about temptations, it is not like some kind of to go to situation which really are on the edge. He's saying about just friendships, meetings, talking. It's just normal thing, and we have to be careful, because we can fall to this temptation, and then we can bring the other person to temptation too. Now it's really, really difficult. And he says that, well, avoid women. Oh, ladies. Yeah. I'm sorry.
He wants to be a monk.
I'm sorry. No, but we were talking about this last time, or maybe not the last meeting, but before that, well, that should be some kind of etiquette among Christians, and we should keep that etiquette. And because really not only protect ourselves, but to think about soul of the other person. And I don't have anything else to add. If you have questions or comments on this. No. Okay, so let's go. Let's continue.
St. Pieman the Great said to a certain monk who was embattled by carnal passions, if a monk reigns in his stomach and his tongue and keeps to a life of wandering, he will never die the death of the soul that snatches everyone who falls into the sin of fornication. By a life of wandering, the elder means separation from a sacred life, from a scattered life, free conversation, and numerous friendships, all of which inflame the desires of the flesh. Saint Isaiah the Hermit said that the battle with concupiscence becomes more intense as a result of these five factors: idle talk, vanity, excessive sleep, lavish dress, and overeating. Two factors are especially responsible for inciting powerful and dangerous carnal desires. Rejection of a wandering life as defined by St. Pieman, and overeating. It is difficult to decide which one of these is worse. One and the other lead to perdition. Whoever submits either to one or the other of these will not be able to withstand the war against his nature. To acquire purity, one must reject both of these.
Tough, isn't it? We have to realize that when these monks were like experts, like those work in research centers. So they make this research and they offer, these people offer the fruit of the research to us for our benefit. The same monks were doing this on the this spiritual level. They made this research, they really in the solitude, they were like testing each movement of soul, and they were able to start to understand how things are connected. They if they got like bad thoughts, so they started to think what happened in their life, what provoked these thoughts. And so they found all these like these connections which they are offered to us as a help. And I like this image that we know about, that we have to be careful in some area of sins or bad thoughts or whatever, that we are more somehow attentive. So this image is, what I like is that if you have like castle which is surrounded with walls, and there is a like main gate, so you make this, you put a lot of guards on this this main gate, because you expect attack on this main gate from enemy. So you guard this gate. But while you don't expect like something wrong going from other gates, the smaller one, so you don't guard it very well. And this is what happens, what he says, that enemy, for example, in this area of purity, if he wants to attack us, he knows that we are attentive to this kind of temptation. So he goes around and he's searching for gates which are not guarded, or just we don't do much attention to this. And he says this, was that, what is that? What this big gates is idle talk, vanity, sleep, lavish dress, overeating. Well, we don't pay too much attention to this. We don't pay too much attention to idle talk, vanity, sleeping, many times how we dress. Maybe we put more attention here and overeating. Well, it doesn't come to our mind that, well, those are gates through which if we don't guard them, the enemy will come through this and will attack us inside. So it is something what we have to keep in mind and to take this as a result of their effort. These holy ascetics, these saints who tried that, to live this life of purity. And let's try to apply if we are under attack of, for example, thoughts against purity. We have to really remember what they said and to go back to our day and to say, well, was there idle talk, overeating, you know? And if we find it, so it is like confirmation. So I remember, I don't know if it is really, if I remember well, but Isaac Strain, he says that about these thoughts against purity, he says, if you are suffering, if I remember well, I don't take. If you are suffering from the thoughts, check if this not in your vain glory. You know, if this temptation of vain glory, or you are under this thought of vain glory. And amazingly, I think that I gave this advice to somebody, and I said, well, look at this, what Isaac Sirian says, and the person, he told me that, well, you're right, it's connected, it's always there, you know, when I have to face these attacks. So there are connections. This like spiritual life is complex life, that if we want to reach purity, for example, mind, so it means that you have to take care of many aspects of our life. It's never only one thing, there are many things. All right. Yes.
I think it was Interior Castle, St. Teresa of Avila. Yeah. She said, if you have a very good spiritual director and you're both praying, you'll find out that almost every one of your problems are all self-inflicted wounds. There's something you missed or you didn't talk with your spiritual advisor about is the root of the problem.
Yeah. And he is really this spiritual father. He shares with us really these mechanisms, these laws of spiritual life. Mm-hmm. And it gives us advices. So it's really wise to remember them, to test them, because it's one thing is that to have this understanding, it's one thing, but to test it. So when you try to put to life these advices, so you will start to see these connections. And when you start to see these connections, you somehow become like strongly aware of this. Once you learn that okay, like this oversleeping, overeating, if you let it happen, so you know that you can expect this temptation in this area. And it means that you can do repentance immediately and to ask for God's help. So to remember of this advice is really helps us to avoid these problems.
Overeating is a basic thing that kind of causes other things, like so how, it seems simple, but like how do you not overeat? Like how do you know, okay, I've had too much, you know, like is it just like because you feel full, or is it like, so like you know, if there's a box of chocolate covered pretzels, I will eat as many of them as I can sustain, you know. But I've tried to find like, okay, three is the limit, you know, whenever they're available, I only have three, you know, but that's such a made up number. How do I practically temper the amount of food without just making it up? Because like, what's the end goal? To eat as little as possible? Like, what's the actual, like, I assume over time monks would try to detach from the comfort of like a lot of flavors and things like that. They'd simplify to just bread, water, get the nourishment. What is my end? Like, is my end as little food as possible? Or, you know what I mean? Like, do I try not to flavor it too much? I just don't care.
Well, it's not easy question for this our time. And I don't think that there is like universal answer. So, because each person is unique and conditions of your work are different. So, for example, those who work harder, they need more nutrition, more food than those who don't work. I know by myself, you know, that even you try to eat a little bit, but if you are sitting all day, so, well, even that is enough. So you can feel, I can feel that, well, even a little food can make me full, you know. I think that it's always somehow a thing you have to discuss with your spiritual father. One thing that about some kind of rules for that. But a general rule, I think, would be to eat in moderation. So I find personally for me it is that I like this advice given by many holy fathers that if you eat, so you should have still like not to fullness, you know, that still you still have room for something more that you would have, you could have something more still to feel some kind of fullness, satisfaction. And I think that this is good rule to start with.
I think it's Saint Cassian, he has a chapter dedicated like to etiquette, how Christian person should eat. And this is one of his points, is that we should eat very slowly when we are kings, and then stop eating before we feel we are full. So if we know that, like how it was explained to me, is that like if I eat I have a bowl of soup, and halfway through I'm already like, okay, I could stop here and I'll be fine, but that's the limit, yeah.
No, that makes sense.
But at the end he says go to your guidance, so go to your spiritual father.
That's what I'm looking for, something like that. The piece that you're not full or slowly, it's a practical thing I can actually apply instead of, yeah, just...
Well, if you see, eat slowly, then your belly connects to your brain.
Right.
You know, so
if
like
I rush it, I can pack it, pack
yeah.
it in.
But I know what you mean with the pretzels.
Like, if there was a... Yeah, instead of Anthony of the Desert, I'd be like Anthony of the Dessert. So,
yeah. You are not alone. You are not alone. Well,
Samuel the Confectioner.
You?
I was wondering, because I was reading it, and it said, two factors are especially responsible for inciting powerful and dangerous carnal desires, rejection of a wandering life and overeating. Well, he says that, and then in the beginning, he quotes St. Isaiah the Hermit. So what is he defining by wandering? What, like, not... Because the hermit, by definition, stays in one place, doesn't move, lives a secluded life,
well,
so...
It would be like ideal, you know. What happened with these hermits was that there were some who for who it was really difficult. So they created this habit to go to visit brother for spiritual discussion. You know, because they couldn't stand the solitude, and so there was this problem even among hermits. I don't say it was like under every day, but from the time they went to visit others, brothers, and this was destroying their life. You know, the fruit of solitude. So this is why he said that this is for these monks who are not only hermits, it's even in monasteries, that if you, there is like one rule from holy fathers, especially desert fathers, stay where you are. Stay where you are. So this stability, it's very important because keeps you focused. So for them, like for hermit, it would be to stay in your solitude. For the monk in monastery, stay in your place where you are or in your cell. You know, don't wander, don't be curious, don't go around. The same is with us, stay where you are. So it's sometimes it is, I don't know, because I can relate to myself because I'm too lazy now this age. But well, I remember my friends, they couldn't, like when we were younger, they said, well, I went to the city because, you know, I was bored, you know, and so he was just wandering, trying to find some kind of fun or to meet somebody or something. It's this not satisfaction when you cannot stand on this on your place. So now it might be good comparison that you are on the social media, you know, killing time or watching TV or something. It's this some kind that you cannot be with you alone on your place. Does it make sense? And it means that you have this life which is like fragmented, that you are searching always for something. You know, that it means that your mind is not focused on your life, what you're doing, on God and prayer. And when this fragmentation comes, so then you are somehow not attentive to temptations or these impulses which are coming. So they can overcome you very easily. Does that make sense? Patrick, you want it?
Well, I was just going to read back what he said. It's like, by a life of wandering, the elder means separation from a scattered life, free conversation, and numerous friendships, all of which inflame the desires of the flesh. So his meaning is, be a moving target. Don't, in that sense, but wandering is like, don't get too stuck down in one place where you have this idle conversation, scattered life in one place. And that's, you can still be a hermit and do that, but it's just to stay away from those things that root you down into a life that's going to lead you to inflame the desires of the flesh.
That explains. Yeah. Explain. Okay, let's continue.
As we pay special attention to preserving ourselves from these main sources that inflame carnal desires, let us not also forget about the lesser reasons, and let us keep ourselves from them as well. Even the lesser factors become powerful from habit and lack of attention. For example, some fast, live in solitude and in poverty, and pray to God for release from their fallen desires. But at the same time, they allow themselves to slander, malign, judge, and laugh at their neighbor. And the help of God flees from them. They are left to themselves, and they find no strength to battle against the sinful desires of their fallen nature. In a certain monastery lived a recluse named Timothy. One of the other monks of this monastery became subjected to a serious temptation. The abbot, having found out about this, asked Timothy how to best deal with the fallen brother. The recluse recommended throwing the brother out of the monastery. After this was done, the same temptation attacked Timothy and brought him to a very dangerous spiritual state. Timothy began to beg God with tears to help him and have mercy on him. And he heard a voice saying, Timothy, know this, I have sent you this temptation only because you despised your brother during his temptation.
Yeah. It's very powerful, mm-hmm. this one. But again, he starts with that we pay special attention to preserving ourselves from these main sources, but we should not forget about the lesser reasons. So again, spiritual life is complex thing. You cannot. It means like to build. You cannot start to build a roof until walls are not erected. So it should be, all these details should be in the right order, and again we were talking about this that last time the fall caused that this perfectness which God gave to our being at creation in the paradise was that mind, the nous, ruled over soul and body. The sin caused like reverse. Body rules over soul and soul over mind. So while we are, I would say that almost like slaves of sinful passions. And the spiritual life is, with God's help, to reverse it back, to really conquer at first body, then these passions of soul, and to give rule back to our nous, this mind of, well, it's difficult to find the right word for that than this Greek one. And so it means that really we have to start, like Anthony asked about this question about fasting. And there was, I remember one priest told that it was some, he gave some kind of lecture, and he said that in the end, when there are questions and answers, somebody asked him about how to find spiritual director, good one, and he made like joke. He said, "Well, you can always make a test if you ask somebody for spiritual direction, so that priest should." If he asks you if you are fasting for, as a first question, it's good one. Keep them. Keep him. You know, it means that he goes like from these basic things. He doesn't try to fix something what you cannot fix until these fundamentals are not done. So we have to respect that. In the spiritual life, there is like some kind of basic steps we have to make. For sure, we should try to be humble, you know, and to have under control all passions. But we have to realize we cannot conquer these bigger passions until we don't conquer these lower passions. And this example he gives is like example for his advice, or it's so easy sometimes for us to, when we make some kind of progress, to become too strict on others. That when we recognize that, okay, I, with God's grace, with some kind of effort, I feel that, well, I am not there when I was 1 year or 2 years ago. And when I realize that there is a, this huge temptation that I start to, I start to judge others who didn't make this effort, and I can become strict towards them. I said we should avoid that. And it, he is talking about now about this one in this example with this temptation against like purity, but it's good advice for all aspects of spiritual life. And this is so common that if somebody didn't respect that or fail in this, in writing Holy Fathers, you can find always this warning that there will be punishment. You will sin in the same way. You know, God will put the shame on you. And this is quite interesting. And if we go to our own life and we find these shameful moments in our life which we were embarrassed, and then if we go deep long back to history a little bit, probably we'll find these moments that, well, it is like boomerang, you know, that something would return back to us because we were not merciful enough. We were not with our brothers and sisters who were suffering at that moment. Or going through horrible temptations, that instead of praying, we were looking from above, from up on them, maybe judging them in mind, in our heart. So this is a very good example. It's good for us to remember. Is some kind of spiritual law we should respect. Comments? Questions? Okay, so let's continue.
One must be very careful and wise in how one treats the members of the body of Christ, Christians. One must try to enter into their suffering during their spiritual sicknesses and to cast off only those who have no desire to become healed and will affect others with their illness. It is extremely important to protect your body from falling into fornication, but this alone is not enough for God-beloved purity through which one can see God. We have an unavoidable responsibility to purify our very soul from impure thoughts, images, and feelings, as the Savior himself commanded. Just as the body, said St. Macarius the Great, becomes infected with defilement when it is joined with another body, so the soul sickens when it enjoys and unites itself with evil and foul thoughts. If anyone infects both his soul and his mind, entering into communion with evil, he is worthy of punishment. One must preserve not only the body from obvious sin, but the soul from improper thoughts, for the soul is the bride of Christ.
Well, there are several like these advices probably need to think of, is that, well, we should, he gives good advice, that he continues in the theme of this example he gave before, and what's interesting, we have to try to enter to suffering of people during their spiritual sickness. So it means that it's really important to, if we see that a person is suffering, we have to try to enter and to help. You know, there are moments, for example, sometimes we don't know, especially if it is connected with thoughts. But, for example, we can see a person who experience like injustice, and this person is talking too much and judging and making plans for revenge, and you know, this is moment when this person is in a huge temptation to react not correctly as a Christian, and at the moment the person is suffering from temptation, and for sure we have to try to enter to this and to be those who calm down the person and to bring some kind of counsel which would remind them, you know, gospel and correct acting. The same thing is that this connection with purity, how many times we see that we might be in the presence of people who might say, I would say, dirty words, or they will be involved in telling dirty stories. It's, I don't know. And so it is time when we can enter there and to correct that. But he says, well, if they don't want to be corrected, let them go. You know, leave them. So it means that for our own sake, for our safety, we have to recognize where is this limit, where to go. It would be bad to put ourselves to danger. You know, so we have to be careful. And then another thing, what he says is that we have a responsibility which was given us through baptism, I would say, that to become holy as our Father is holy. And it means to purify our soul and mind from all thoughts which taint our life, our being. And while not everything is that really something what brings our death, I mean spiritual death, but there are many things which brings us punishment. There is this series of books of Evagrius we have in our library. I think that two parts are still there, somebody took already two, but it's good. But I don't know in which one there is this picture that if there is a person who walks around vineyard and has desire for grapes, but he doesn't take it, so he will be not punished by death as a thief, but he will be punished anyway because of his desire. You know, that it means that to play with, not to pay attention, to some play in mind with these thoughts which are against purity and whatever sin it is, so that I didn't commit that, you know, so it means, well, okay, I might not cause death to this life of soul, this life is grace, but still I will be punished Yeah. Go ahead.
Doesn't that come close to, punishing us for temptation? Because if we resist a temptation, you know, we can have a temptation. Gee, I'd like to have that grape, but I know it's not right, so I'm not going to steal that grape. Well, that's a temptation that I've overcome.
Well, this is. I think he's talking about, what I mean is about this staying in fantasy world, you know, when you are playing with that. For example, like, I think that good example is that when you buy a ticket for lottery and then you start to think, okay, if I win, you know, and so you start to imagine you have $200 million and now you start to think what you would do with this money, and I would do this and this, and you know, I would help so many people, I would support this and this, and this is going around vineyard, what he means, you know, that you are greedy, you are connected with the world, you are really playing with this, and it is connected with all these passions, you know, that if you let your mind wander around and around this topic of the sin, of the passion, so this is what causes punishment.
It just kind of reminds me of the example that, I mean, I would think that you've probably given in homilies and stuff, is like the sin of fornication, or like a man sees a woman and might be tempted, like in lust after her or something, but he doesn't do it, but he still commits, has that passion, and so he is still guilty of that sin because he's, you know, feeling that in his, in like, it stirs that passion in his soul.
Yeah. And it might be quite difficult for us to really absorb that, because while we are under huge, this, a lot of impulses coming to the, from the world, but still, we have to. Look, if our goal is purity of life, holiness, so we cannot reach that until we don't purify our thoughts. And still, like to staying in these thoughts, it's still, for it should be still for us sign that we are under the rule of that passion. And so we have to, it is like waking call to start to do something with that. And it means that really even to put like these bigger guns to our spiritual life. Cutting off and it is not only that I say like sorry, but I have to, with this sorry must be followed by a really serious thinking about style of my life, and really what I have to change to avoid that, to change environment where I am living in. Hello, Lucia. So this is very important. Like I like this picture which was said by, or example given by Sympaisi from Anatos. He said that, look, there are like thousands airplanes in the air. You can see them, you can hear even them, but it's you are not bothered by them, and there is no problem with them. But when you build an airport in your heart, this is a problem. Does it make sense? When you let these thoughts to land in your heart. This is the problem. So we have to be aware of these differences, because we have 10,000, 20,000 thoughts per day, but not all thoughts are sinful or they deserve punishment. Only those who land in our heart, you know, that, and so we pay too much attention to them, and we somehow, they become part of our life, you know, in some way.
Is there an appropriate way to set goals that is not... So the thing, you spoke about living in the fantasy world and imagining these futures and visions and things, and the way things could be if you, you know what I mean, like, what if I won the lottery or whatever. And since coming here, I've kind of, like, had a new outlook on... I used to have a dream board, like I had pictures on a board of, you know, I want to have this car, or I want to have this, not even just a possession, but like a, I want to have 12 kids that was on there. I actually took it off. Not that I don't want to have 12 kids, but I was like, you know what, like, however many God wants me to have, whether it's 2 or 12, whatever, you know, I'm kind of reevaluating setting goals, like, kind of like, what's the point of setting goals, like, if it's not ordered, you know, towards... You know, I'm sure God has goals for me rather than me having goals. So how can I set goals without living in the fantasy world of this dreaming? Because I've had to, like, unlearn so many things. You know, all these self-help books tell you to dream big and all this stuff, positive affirmations, no shame, all this stuff. And it's like I'm finding out it's all the opposite. It's all not true, you know. So,
well, you know, so if you still have this dream board...
I've got a few things left on there that I haven't...
Okay, so fill it.
Yeah.
You know, put there, like, St. Charbel, St. John Climac.
That's what I was thinking about, putting icons on there.
You know, a lot of icons. Put there all these people, icons of these people who reached the goal of human life.
Is that where the prayer wall comes from?
Well, it might, you
I'm
can use it.
That's, you know.
No, it's, okay. No, but, you know, you don't need to do this, you know. But what I meant through this was that this is a very good question, and really, we as a Christians, we have to test our dreams. If you have the same dreams as people from the world, something wrong is with our faith. And we know that we are on journey here. And if you read the first chapter, I think, from Brian Chen, you know, he makes the comparison that we are like the person who travels to this glorious city, and that traveler stays in, like, hotel for night, and morning he continues, he forgets when he were, because in his mind is this glorious city where he's traveling to. So, and again, if we read gospel, and God gives us these goals for our life, what we are supposed to be, because our fulfillment of our life never will be in this world. It is in life with Christ, in eternal life. So it's difficult to answer like in perfect way, you do this. It's impossible. But if you set up this goal, that is holiness, it's my salvation, it's goal for me, and I will be striving towards the goal, so suddenly you will find out that many of your dreams will go to trash.
That's what happens.
You know, and look, and you will not feel sorry for that.
Yeah.
you will be just okay. I was silly, you know, and you will be adjusting your life, you know, according to this and this happiness. Something what was like a whole world for you now becomes nothing, you know, which each step towards God and this way, these things of the world will be naturally losing attraction and this pleasant taste. So I, you know, so start to fill this board with these bigger dreams,
yeah.
Perfect dreams, and you will see how this board will be losing other things because they will become not very important. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Well, and again, it is process. It's process because if you say something who is on the beginning of spiritual life, now you have to turn whole life upside down, they would not take it. But again, God is very good to us and he leads us step by step. And what something what has still attraction for me from this world, and I pay too much attention today, after 1 year probably it will not, will be gone. So I don't say now to wait. No, we have to do what we are able to do now. We have to try to heal our soul, to follow God's will in these limits which we are able to understand now and to fulfill now. But this is good intention. We have to have desire for holiness. And slowly God will lead us step by step. And with that, this taste, this attention to the world will be disappearing. Samuel?
Just a quick thought about, you know, fantasies and what motivates us. So many times, you know, it's a thought that came to us from outside, and oftentimes we don't even question where that idea came from. And so for me, it could have been a scene from a movie that made something look really attractive. And then you, where did that idea come from? And you realize it was some New Age philosopher or something like that. And so just, okay, did this idea come from a saint? Did this idea come from scriptures? And a lot of these self-affirmative ideas are from the New Age, this idea of a self-made man.
Mm-hmm.
He's left to his own destiny, and he's trying to build heaven on earth.
Yeah. But this is why they always invite us, I mean this Holy Father, this teacher of spiritual life, then don't trust yourself. Test is your thought. You know, it might be very difficult in the beginning to really test way how we're thinking and even if we find out that, well, this is wrong, this shows me my attention to the world, and it might take a while until I remove that from my life. But because I am doing that, slowly I am taking away the strength of this temptation. I think on Friday I was saying that if we can name our passion, so we are making that weaker. So it is very important, it's really work to test and to think, why I want this, why I have this desire, why I am searching for something, what is behind that. Always search for root of that desire, thought, or you know, what's the motivation for my plans for life. It's hard work. It's hard work, but again, we should not be. One thing is that if we really want to love God, if we really want to live a holy life, God will send us enough help to show us the journey. You know, it was one priest said, back in Slovakia, he said that if somebody needs help, so God would bring like priests from America here, you know, to help you. Well, it is, he's dead already, this priest, he was saying this like very often. But good priest, but this is true, that if there is this intention in our heart, we will not miss. There will be always some kind of hope coming to us to show us next step. And this is great, because God wishes our salvation. And even the smallest movement in our heart is enough for Him to flood our life with grace. We support it, even the smallest crack, you know, we have. So this is, many times, you know, you have people who, like in pastoral work, that they're like stuck somewhere, you know, or satisfied with spiritual life. And you can talk as much as possible to them to somehow good inspiration or to move them. It's nothing working because they're satisfied. And I found out that the best thing is, you know, to tell them, just keep desire for God in your heart. Keep desire. And when they start to have this, so God uses that, because this desire makes this crack. And there is always some kind of movement, if they take it seriously. All right, so thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.